We're here now with folks from our sister community radio station, KYRS, broadcasting at 88.1 and 92.3 FM out of Spokane, Washington. We have program production manager Dana Matthews.
Hello, Susie.
Hi, thank you so much for doing this with us today. And station manager Michael Moonbear. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
So, again, welcome to both of you and thanks for joining us to talk about something that we have in common, a common interest. I think it's one of the most awesome things in the world, community radio. But before we get into all the wonders and what I call magic of community radio, let's talk a little bit about your backgrounds and why you do what you do. So we'll start with Michael Moonbear. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, how you got involved with KYRS, some of your station duties. I know it's broad. If you're a station manager, you do everything. You empty the garbage. And what community radio means to you. So take it away, Michael Moonbear, station manager.
Well, I started out as a programmer here at KYRS. A friend of mine told me about the station that was being started up. And I was invited to produce a world music program. And because I had a store here in Spokane for many years where I sold traditional music and musical instruments from around the world. And so that just seemed like a good fit for me. I wasn't able to do it right away. When the station was, I think in its second year of operations, that's when I started up the show Around the World with Michael Moonbear. And that was September 1st, 2004. And I produced that show for about 13 years. After being with the station as a programmer for a little over a year, the person who was the underwriting coordinator, they were leaving. And so they needed someone to step up and work in that area. So I thought, I love the station, I love community radio, so I can give that a try. So I stepped into that position. At some point down the road, years later, the program director left. And when they departed, they were looking for a new person to do that. I had a lot of experience and was interested. And so I became the program director here at the station. Walking further down the road years later, then at some point the station manager departed and they were looking for a new station manager. And again, it was one of those things with loving the station, really knowing it intimately by having worked in so many avenues of the station and being part of the longtime staff, I moved into that position. So now I'm the station manager here at KYRS, and that involves a lot less radio than a person might think. You're managing, you're coordinating everything. However, you've got different staff and different people working in various areas. So there's a lot to do with business and finance is a lot of that I focus on, being in compliance with FCC rules and being responsible really for the day-to-day operation of the station, kind of almost everything except being on the radio. I'll do that during a fund drive sometime. But other than that, I'm much more of on the business side of things, being the station manager now.
I always say that one of the main things with my job, since I'm station manager here at KRFY, is to protect our license by complying with the FCC rules and then helping the what you call programmers and we call broadcasters to know the rules and stay with the program. And that really does protect the license, and to get a sense of our community is a little different than Spokane, and keep people engaged and stuff like that. So great. And how old is KYRS right now?
We just said, there's kind of two different dates you could look at. We've got from when the idea was percolating, when the FCC made some frequencies available and a group of people got together to apply for that license. There's that. And then there's going on the air itself when we first launched on the air. Dana, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I believe the first day of our broadcast, I believe, was October 26th of 2003. And unfortunately, I don't know what the first show that actually broadcast on, but we started out with about a dozen local programs. And we've been hard at it ever since. We've been here for 18 years now, and we currently have 47 locally produced programs. So it's a big part of our.
I was just going to say, we'll get into all that, but what I really want to hear from you, Dana, is your background before we get too far into KYRS. I jump around a little bit when I'm doing interviews, but I know you've been there for a while, Dana. Give us your background, something about yourself, how you got involved, station duties, and what community radio means to you.
Well, my father's a ham radio operator, so my earliest memories is radio, the blinking lights and the voices drifting in through the ether from far, far away. And to me, radio has always been a special magic thing. And I feel that same way today. There's an intimacy and an immediacy that is just not in any other media. When you listen to a live voice on the radio, it's vibrant and electrifying. And so I've just been enamored with it since I was a tiny little child. And so when I heard that this station was proposing to go on air, I was immediately enthralled by it. And I intended to initially volunteer as graphic designer. And it was some years after the launch of the station that I came on as just a volunteer. And I worked some of the events that we had, just did little odd jobs around, and over the years, slowly worked up through various duties until I wound up as program director. And really, as program director, my real job is to support the programmers. And so to make sure that they have the tools and the capabilities to go on and do the best show that they can and make sure that as things arrive, I am able to back them up for their needs. And so really, I'm kind of the tech support for the programmers around here. And I love doing that. The programmers are my favorite part of the whole operation.
I agree with you 100%. They're the heart and soul of a community radio station. And when you're talking about the beginning of your interest in this station, KYRS, that you are broadcasting out of, why were you interested in this kind of station, community, commercial free, compared to a commercial station? Because it was radio that interests you, so you could go either way.
I've had a lifelong love for the sort of underground media. So there's always been various voices that have had an opinion that didn't jive with what corporate media will spoon feed us. And I've always been a fan of the alternative journalism that's available. And I think keeping that vibrant and alive is one of the most important tasks that we have as individuals and a community. So the idea of a community-based radio station just contained all the things that I could possibly dream of. The freedom of truly free speech and open exchange of ideas, and just the simple magic of radio itself. And I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
I think a lot of people feel the same way, and I think it's important to say that. And when we're airing this interview, by the way, this is recorded, KRFY will be hosting its end of the year giving fundraiser, as you just did a few weeks ago. And we're celebrating a 10-year birthday of going live on the air. And as each community radio station has its own unique start and demographics, you just gave us a little brief history of KYRS. And it was probably started by a group of people, and you may have mentioned this, that had an idea, kind of like what you're talking about, Dana, of having a platform for free ideas to have a home and also put it over the airwaves. So how has it evolved over the years from that beginning to where you are now, as you say, over 40 programmers or broadcasters?
I believe we have 46 or 47 locally produced programs now, yeah.
And so, Michael, maybe you have a handle on the how it's evolving and where you're going. I mean, it's baby steps oftentimes, but...
Yeah, well, when this started out, like back in 1999, really is when those frequencies became available from the FCC, and a group of local activists got together and said, we want to have a community radio station. And the idea of that is to give voice to the community. Being a community radio station, we are not a satellite of anything. This isn't something that's owned by a corporation on the other side of the country and just has outlets here and there. This is a community radio station. That means we're dedicated to presenting the stories, the viewpoints, and the concerns and issues of our local community. And so it makes it a very unique type of station. We're not being a satellite of anything. We stitch together these stories and experiences from local people, and you put all these together, and what you get is like an extraordinary audio tapestry of, you know, of our community that we put out over the air. And that really gives it a sense of dimension and a sense of place when you listen to this station, extraordinarily different than what you're going to get out of a commercial station. When we first started out, it was 100 watts, which is really the power, literally, of an easy bake oven. That's what it was. It was a low power FM station. You could hear us for several blocks around, really. That would be it. We had then moved on to another frequency became available, and we applied for a permit and became a full power station. And after with that, again, that's, you know, all through support from the community that we moved up to, you know, 6,800 watts and became a full power station. Now, as far as talking about what our journey and the steps, we're about to next year take another big step in our journey. We're going to be moving into our location is going to move to the main branch of the Spokane Public Library. And we're going to be building out a brand new studio in there. And as part of being at the library, it's going to help create a lot more visibility for us, even greater connection to our community. We're going to be offering programs through the library as well to teach people audio production, teaching people podcasting, things like this. So there's another big step in the evolution of KYRS coming right down the road early next year.
A lot of preparation for that gigantic step, I would say.
Yes.
And Dano, since you're in charge of the programmers, as you call them, we call them broadcasters, but how does KYRS recruit, train, and retain such a diverse and broad group of broadcasters? What keeps them engaged and willing to volunteer? Because I know our broadcasters love what they do. I'm not sure why, but I know why I do. So how do you keep them engaged and willing to volunteer their time each week to bring shows to your audience, to your listeners?
Well, to the first question, you know, sometimes we will reach out to try and locate individuals that might be interested in doing specific programming. As often as not, we'll receive proposals just from the community. People have heard things on the station. They have an idea of something they feel like needs a voice. And a large part of our programmers come just through that method. But once they get on board, I think one of the main things that I notice is that programmers have a very close feeling of connection with each other. And so they're part of something that's bigger than just their show. And as we listen to other programs, it continuously raises the bar. And so they hear other programmers doing something, they want to improve what they're doing, and they'll raise it a couple notches. And overall, you get this incredible raising of all of our programs through their interactions. And I think just being such a part of such a vibrant community is really what engages our programmers as much as anything. We know that there's other people that are like-minded, that enjoy the same things that we do, have similar points of view. And we're not only just our little community here, we're part of a larger community of other community radio stations, KRFY and Sandpoint, all across the nation. So when we hear things on the news that are being talked about, people who are seeking social justice, we feel like we are actually involved with those people. We are part of that movement. We're not just watching, we're participating.
I get that. That's fantastic. One of the things we talked about a minute ago were that you have over 45 broadcasters, programmers, and here at KRFY, we have about 16, but some are still sending us podcasts from home. We have a gal that just moved to Spokane that will be sending us her show every week from Spokane. And we're getting her geared up for that. She may visit you someday. She's a friend of some of your programmers.
We'd love to talk with her.
Yeah, well, I'm not giving her to you guys, but that's for sure. So just moving on a little bit, I love the fact that what you said about community and giving voice to our community, but also reaching in, and that your programmers have formed a little community within themselves. I know there's DJ Spokane Guy and DJ Goldbond on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And they hang out, they learn about music from each other. So
Yeah. That's
pretty cool. But it takes more than programmers to run a station. A quick question. Are all your programmers volunteers?
They are. Every single one.
So in that case, it takes more than just volunteers, although that is a huge part of what keeps a community radio station going. But it also takes funds, because you have to have, I mean, our tower rent is $1,000 a month. That's probably pretty cheap, actually. But so what does it take to keep a community radio station strong and healthy and on the air, from your point of view, from KYRS? What do you see?
Our sources of funding are generally three primary things. Being a nonprofit, we are barred by the FCC from running actual commercials, which we don't want to do, which is why we're a nonprofit and a community station. We don't want commercials. What we have instead of commercials is what's referred to as underwriting announcements. And underwriting announcements, basically, in a very simple sense, you could kind of think of as the nonprofit version of advertising, but it's really not the same animal. We're acknowledging businesses, organizations, and individuals for the direct donations and support of the station. So we've got underwriting, we have grants that we apply for, and achieve some grants that help fund us. When the recent census was done, we got a grant from an organization to help get information out about the census. We've just finished up working with a grant, getting out information about COVID and vaccinations to our community. So we have grant sources, and then direct donations from supporters of the station, people who believe and go hand in hand with us and say, we need community radio, and I'm throwing in my part to support your station because I want it to continue. I always feel like it's a wonderful thing. I remember when I first donated to KYRS, it changed my perspective on it instantly, because now it wasn't just a station that I listened to, but I felt like I had some ownership in the station. I would listen to that and think, I'm helping make that happen. That's my station. And it's an amazing feeling.
I get that. And Dana, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, it does. It does take funds to keep things going, and sometimes it's kind of scary. But really, the listeners out there, they understand that they're the ones that keep this going. And for almost 20 years, the community has told us that we're doing the right thing. And sometimes we, hope that we would get more during fund drives and so on and so forth. But the response that we get from our listeners, that's a that we're doing something right.
Okay, yeah. We may have some glitches on Zoom for the listeners that are going to be hearing this interview. And by the way, just to let you know, this is 88.5 KRFY community radio here that you're listening to today. This, when we're talking with the program director and the station manager of KYRS, our sister station out of Spokane, Washington, talking a little bit about community radio and the value and what it takes to keep it strong. It's listener supported, it's underwriter supported, it's some grants and fundraising, but those are the two key components. And I always throw in the third one, and I think we've talked about it, the volunteers. Without our programmers, our broadcasters as volunteers, that's the other component that makes it strong. Do you do a lot of fundraising throughout the year, other than listener, fund drives?
In general, we like to, but since the COVID situation hit, we have not really been able to do much in the way of outside events. So that's been really hamstringing that aspect of fundraising for us over the past couple of years.
Well, I think that hopefully will change. And as you move to the library, which I think is genius, because that's, we're licensed for arts and education. What better place to have a radio station, right? And that relationship is fantastic. Yeah. So we wish you well as you move forward in that. But let's talk for a moment about the other shows that we have. I know for us, with only 16 programmer broadcasters, we have a lot of syndicated and automated shows. But those syndicated shows come from Pacifica or PRX. Where do you get your Democracy Now!, Letters in Politics, those talk shows that are not being produced there in Spokane?
Yeah, the bulk of the syndicated programming also does come from Pacifica. They're one of the oldest community organizations, and their programming is certainly some of the highest quality you can find. There's occasionally we will go out again for special interests that we might have a particular need for, and so we'll just research a couple shows that we have that fill a need. Here we have Civic Cipher, which is a syndicated program that discusses current affairs for the Black community. First Voices Radio is an Indigenous Peoples talk show. So there's the occasion where we'll research and track down people that are producing programming. But the bulk of our programming does come directly from Pacifica.
When you're talking about these others that are not Pacifica, because I know we pay a membership, I guess you'd call it, fee with Pacifica every year. It's not all that much to get the quality programming we're getting. But something like First Voices Radio, do you pay for any of your programming that's outside of Spokane?
Anything that's outside of the Pacifica Network, no, we're not paying for.
So you ask for them to give it
we
to
do.
You?
Okay. Yeah. And most of the programs that are produced like that are much of the same viewpoint as we are. They are producing it because there's a need and they feel, you know, an obligation to share with their community important information. And so the opportunity to have another voice at another station is welcomed with open arms by most of these producers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the majority of what you hear coming out of KYRS is coming from right down the hall here, right in our on-air production studio by local volunteers.
You know, I listen to a lot of what KYRS, because you do have streaming, so I can stream it up here in Sandpoint. And I do listen because, and I think it takes so much to put together a show. I can't list some of your shows right now, but I know some of them and how dedicated they are to do that and have a studio to go to. So you have a couple of studios they can record their shows on. It's a lot of work. And so you have to really cheer for those programmers for what they're doing at your station and at ours.
Yeah, if you had to pay even a small wage for the programming, it would be a fortune. You would just absolutely, I've calculated different times, it would just be thousands and thousands of dollars weekly to have this kind of programming produced for you. It's astronomical. And so, you know, what you're getting just from the sheer passion of the programmers, you can't put a value on it. It is literally priceless.
It's amazing, actually. So any last words of wisdom from either you, Michael Moonbear, or you, Dana Matthews?
I would say to everybody listening, and this is not hyperbole, you need to support your local community radio station. And just right now, if you're listening to KRFY, this station is only possible because of your support. And the work that came to make the station, your station and ours here, KYRS, the work that's being done now to maintain the station and grow the station and bring you the programming that you care about and that you need, and then the work that is to come in the future for this station, there's no mistake that you can make. These are only possible through your support. And now that KRFY is here, I can't imagine North Idaho without it. And so you need to support it. You need to help it grow. You need to cherish, love, and protect and nurture it.
Well, thank you for that. How about you, Dana?
Well, I've always, you know, felt that a true free press really is the foundation of a real democracy. And I can't think of a better example of a true free press than community radio. And so not only is it worth supporting just for what you individually get out of enjoyment from it, but you're actively working towards a true democracy for our society.
Wow. I just think that we're so fortunate to be involved in any way that we can be, whether it's bringing great music or local content or whatever we do as volunteers for our stations. It's pretty amazing. And it, from what we've talked about here today, it truly does take a village, a small town, a town, a city the size of Spokane to sustain local community radio. So thank you to our listeners. Thank you to you guys for what you're doing in Spokane, seriously. And thanks for the chat today. I've been talking with Dana Matthews, program manager at KYRS, and Michael Moonbear, station manager at KYRS. That's out of Spokane. And if you're in Spokane, that's at 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And you can always stream, just like you can stream KYRS, KRFY. I mean, I knew I was going to get those mixed up eventually.
But, K's.
Ours is KRFY is community K-R-F-Y, radio.
KYRS.
Community radio for you. And you have a tagline to yours. KYRS is community, your radio station?
Yeah, YRS, that was part of when we picked those calls. KYRS, the YRS is your radio station.
Bravo, thanks for the work you're doing. Thanks for the chat today, you guys. Thanks for the work you're doing in your Spokane community. I really appreciate this interview today.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you.
Power.
Yes, I agree. Bravo.